E-R-M-A-Y. That's why. Time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on in to that Amber May spot. It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on in to that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm your host, Amber May, and I'm glad we have this time together. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Amber May Show. Do you know what the single most important thing that ever happened to this earth was? If you don't, you might want to stay tuned after the break, because today I'm going to tell you about the greatest thing that ever happened on this earth. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. Amber May will be right back.
Eliminate mold, bacteria, viruses, and odor. Call AirXam, your indoor air quality solution. The only safe and effective ozone process in the valley. AirXam kills mold, bacteria, including MRSA, viruses, and odor. AirXam, your low-cost solution to clear up pet odors, smoke odors, and is an absolute must for defunking homes, vehicles, sports gear, and more. Guaranteed to eliminate mold, bacteria, and odors. Call AirXam at 623-330-1910. That's 623-330-1910. Or online at airxam.com. AirXam.com. Door Doctor Garage Door and Repair Specialist provides homeowners and businesses with quality garage door and opener repair service across the entire valley. It may be a simple adjustment or a major repair job. Either way, courteous, uniformed, and knowledgeable technicians will show up on time in a fully stocked truck ready to fix your problems, in most cases right then and there. Third generation family owned and operated business here in the valley for over 20 years. Only selling and installing the highest quality parts available. Talk to a live technician 24/7 at 602-495-1555. That's 602-495-1555 or visit azdoordoctor.com for same day service. Don't forget, that's azdoordoctor.com.
This is the Amber May Show.
Welcome back to the Amber May Show. Please help sponsor my sponsors. Because of them, I'm able to come on the air with you and share wonderful things that I learned. And one of the most wonderful things I've learned is about the single most important thing that has ever happened to this earth. And that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the single most important thing that's ever happened. Let me tell you the story about Jesus' death. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and to kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man named Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head, and he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. And when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she had done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" So they counted him out 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near, and I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on the account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you in Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on the account of you, I will never." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I would never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not my will, but your will." Then he turned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." And he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup may be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the 3rd time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward and seized Jesus and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for a sword and drew it out and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting his ear off. "Put down your sword. Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to them. "For all you draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that says it must happen this way?" At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this is all taking place that the writings of the prophet might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him, Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teacher of the law and the elders has assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, 2 came forward and declared, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. And the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is the testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again, with an oath. I don't know the man. After a while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to him, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words that Jesus had spoke. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Earlier in the morning, all the chief priests and elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left, and he went away and hung himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, It is against the law to put this into treasury since it is blood money. So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it is the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew it was out of envy that they handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, Crucify him! Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted out louder, Crucify him! When Pilate saw he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, Let his blood be on us and our children. And then he released Barabbas to him. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The governor's soldiers took Jesus. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted it together, a crown of thorns, and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. And after they had mocked him, they took off his robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to be crucified. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skulls. later knowing that all was now complete. And so the scriptures would be fulfilled. Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." A jar of wine and vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a staff of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when they had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be special Sabbath. But the Jews did not want the body left on the cross during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the body taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so the scriptures would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as other scriptures say, they will look on the one they have pierced. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two robbers were crucified with him, the one on his right and the one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we'll believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." And the rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtains of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split. The tomb broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. And those who were with them were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened. They were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's son. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered it to be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb. He had cut out the rock. He rolled back a big stone in front of an entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite of the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees said to Pilate, "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give order to the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he had been raised from the dead. The last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went to make the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone, posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know who you are looking for. Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples he had risen from the dead. Carmen did a great illustration of what this story looked like. Listen to this.
In the vast expanse of a timeless place, where silence ruled the outer space, ominously towering it stood, the symbol of a spirit war between the one named Lucifer and the morning star, the ultimate of good. Enveloped by a trillion planets, clean as lightning and hard as granite, a cosmic coliseum would host the end of the war between the Lord of sin and death and the omnipotent creator of man's first breath, who will decide who forever will be the champion. The audience for the fight of the ages was assembled and in place. The angels came in splendor from a star. The saints that had gone before were there, Jeremiah, Enoch, Job. They were singing the song of Zion on David's harp. The demons arrived, offensive and vile, cursing and blaspheming God, followed by their trophies, dead and gone. Hitler, Napoleon, Pharaoh, Capone, tormented and vexed and grieved, waiting for their judgment from the throne. Then a chill swept through the mammoth crowd, and the demons squealed with glee as a sordid, vulgar, repulsive essence was felt. Arrogantly prancing, hands held high, draped in a sparkling shroud, trolled by demons, Satan ascended from hell. Then Satan cringed, the sinners groaned, the demons reeled in pain as a swell of power like silent thunder rolled. With a surge of light beyond intense, illuminating the universe in resplendent glory, appeared the Son of God. Then a persona, yes, extraordinaire, appeared in center ring. God the Father will oversee the duel. Opening the book of life, each grandstand hushed in awe, as majestically he said, "Now here's the rules. He'll be wounded for their transgressions, bruised for iniquities. When he said, 'By his stripes they're healed,' the devil shook. He screams,
'Sickness is my specialty. I hate that healing junk.'
God said, 'You shut your face, I wrote the book.' Then the father looked at his only son and said, 'You know the rules. Your blood will cleanse their sin and calm their fears.' Then he pointed his finger at Satan and said, 'And I know you know the rules. You've been twisting them to deceive my people for years.' Satan cried,
'I'll kill you, Christ. You will never win this fight.'
The demons wheezed,
'That's right. There ain't no way.'
Satan jeered,
'You're dead, baby Jesus. I'm gonna bust you up tonight.'
Jesus said, 'Go ahead, make my day.' The bell, the crowd, the fight was on, and the devil leaped in fury. With all his evil tricks, he came undone. He threw his jabs of hate and lust, a stab of pride and envy. But the hands that knew no sin blocked everyone. 40 days and nights they fought, and Satan couldn't touch him. Now the final blow, saved for the final round. Prophetically, Christ's hands came down, and Satan struck in vengeance. The blow of death felled Jesus to the ground. The devils roared in victory, the saints shocked and perplexed, as wounds appeared upon his hands and feet. Then Satan kicked him in his side, and blood and water flowed. And they waited for the 10 count of defeat. God the Father turned his head, his tears announcing Christ was dead. The 10 count would proclaim the battle's end. Then Satan trembled through his sweat in unexpected horror. Yet, as God started to count by saying, 10.
Hey, wait a minute, God.
9.
You're counting wrong.
8.
His eyes are
7.
His fingers are twitching.
6.
Where's all this light coming from?
5.
He's alive!
4.
Oh, no!
3.
Oh, yes!
2.
He has won!
Is defeated, and Jesus